The reading is taken from Luke chapter 8, verses 40 to the end. Now when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a synagogue leader, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house, because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then Jesus said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." While Jesus was still speaking, someone came out of the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," he said. "Don't bother the teacher anymore." Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid, just believe and she will be healed." When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him, except Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. "Stop wailing," Jesus said. "She's not dead, but asleep." They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. For he took her by the hand and said, "My child, get up." Her spirit turned, and at once she stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were astonished, but he ordered not to tell anyone what had happened. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, James. Now, how many children have I got today? Well, the children like to have a chance to have an excuse to potter around, because they're welcome to come and join me if they would, because we're going to wander, and I might need Maisie's assistance while she tries to hide behind the sound desk. So this story, in the previous chapter, Jesus has healed the servant of a centurion. And the centurion didn't come himself. He sent word to ask Jesus to pray. And the leaders of the synagogue were the ones who went. And they were the ones who went to Jesus and said, "This man, this Roman soldier, who was one of the invading army, has served us well. He's built our synagogue. He's given us stuff that we need. So we're asking you to heal his servant." Jesus then disappears off. There's a whole load of other stories. He raises someone from the dead, just like he's healed the centurion's servant. He then goes into chapter 8. He talks about the parable of the sower. He calms the storm. They go over and heal the demon-possessed man. And he comes back to Capernaum. And the crowd knew he was coming. A few days earlier, he's not only healed the centurion's son, but he's raised the widow's son back to life. So they're all crowding around him. Now, I was hoping I was going to have a crowd here. Maisie, how much of a crowd can you be on your own? Come and be a crowd, Maisie. Isla, are you talking to Jackie today? Can you come and help me? Nope. We'll have to pretend I have a crowd then. A crowd! Hello, young man. What's your name? Harry. Hello, Harry. Thank you. This is where I get my head in, because I can never remember which one's which of these two. Matty. See, I told you I can't get it right. Right, I have a crowd. I have a crowd that's pushing around me. Or possibly running away. So when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they're all expecting him. Then Jairus, "Harry, are you happy to kneel for a moment for me?" Then a man named Jairus, a synagogue leader, came and threw himself at Jesus' feet. Jairus was almost certainly one of the people a few days earlier who'd come and begged Jesus to heal the centurion's servant. Now Jairus is coming himself and he throws himself down at Jesus' feet. Please heal my daughter. He's seen what has happened before and he has faith to come and ask Jesus to heal his daughter. Daughters were not special. I know we've got a whole feminist thing going on. I know we've got a whole lot of improvement over the last few years. I know there's still way to go. I know there's lots of that to go. 2,000 years ago, daughters were worthless. Daughters meant nothing. They were less than worthless. What a man wanted was a son because a son inherited. That's why the language of the Bible is so much about sons, except that all the Gospels give honor and dignity and status to women. So Jairus is pleading for the life of his only daughter. He has faith to ask for healing at this point. That's all he's asking for. So he throws himself down at Jesus' feet and begs him. So they start walking towards the house. But while they're on the way, a woman comes. Now, I haven't got a cloak. Maisie, yes? Reach out and touch the hem of my jacket, please.
Do you want mine instead?
No, that's fine. No, my jacket, dear. Come here. Reach out and touch the hem of my jacket. Thank you, dear. Remind me how old you are.
10.
You might not live to 11. If her mother was here, I'd still say it. Don't worry. Thank you, dear. Jairus' daughter is 12. Have we got any 12-year-olds in the building? Same age as James. The woman who came through the crowds is unclean. She shouldn't be there. She should not be in the crowd. She has been unclean for 12 years. She probably hasn't seen her family for 12 years because she will not have been allowed to live with them. She's been bleeding for 12 years. Jairus' daughter is 12 years old. Maybe she has children she hasn't seen for all that time. She shouldn't be there. But she has faith, not even to disturb the teacher, not even to disturb Jesus, but to push her way through a crowd she should not be there, should not be in. She's not elbowing her way through, but she is determined. She's done everything else that's possibly available to her. One of the other versions adds that she's used all her money to pay for treatment, and no one's been able to cure her. And she just reaches out and touches the hem of his cloak, which is probably substantially longer than my jacket. So she's down at ground level. She's not standing tall. She's staying as low to get little notice as possible. And Jesus instantly notices something's changed. And Peter quite reasonably says, but everybody's touching you. You're in a crowd. And Jesus says, no, this was different. Someone touched me deliberately with intent. And the lady comes forward and she too throws herself at her feet, at Jesus' feet. Throw yourself at my feet, darling. Thank you. I knew I was worth this. Thank you, Maisie. She throws herself at his feet too. She realizes she can't go unnoticed. She didn't really want to draw attention to herself. My guess is, having been healed, she would have gone and shown herself to the priest and been acknowledged as clean before she told anybody. But actually, that private moment of faith touching the cloak suddenly becomes a public moment of testimony. I have been healed. And Jesus says, daughter, go, your faith has made you well. Both these women are called daughter in this reading. We don't have their names, but they're both called daughter. Their status is acknowledged. Both the girl and the woman are given dignity. And hers was a private request, a silent request, touching his cloak, and a public witness of her healing. Jesus then carries on through the crowd to the house where Jairus' daughter is. Now, I tried to find a clip, and I couldn't find a trustworthy clip. When it comes to grieving in this country, we are oh so English and do our very best to do it quietly. I'm going to turn my microphone off in a second and endeavor to give you a bit of a demonstration without the microphone of what wailing sounds like in other cultures. It's all slightly different. It is not quiet. It goes something, I will attempt, like this. There would have been a crowd of hired wailing women outside that building. It still happens in certain cultures now. Grief is not a quiet thing. It is a public declaration of loss. And there is an argument that they cope with bereavement better than we do. So Jesus is crowded around. There are people pushing around him. He's walking towards this. They've just seen this woman testify that she's been healed. And he gets to this building, and there's all this noise going on. And he only takes in three disciples and the girl's parents. We aren't told mum's name either, which is interesting. There are plenty of women named in the gospel, but for some reason these women are not. And he says to the mourners, "Be quiet, she isn't dead." Now, we know she was dead, but from Jesus' point of view, as far as he was concerned, she wasn't. And he goes in and he takes her by the hand and he says, "Little girl, get up." Then really importantly, he asks her parents to feed her. I love that detail. She must have been hungry. She'd clearly been ill. She probably hadn't eaten for days. So he's raised her up, but she still needs some food. So this is a public healing, albeit in a room with only a few people, but everybody knows he's in there. And he then tells the parents not to tell anybody. There's a whole crowd out there who knew that 2 minutes ago she was dead, and pretty soon, if not today, tomorrow, we'll see her playing outside again. So I didn't actually find any help at all about why that was don't tell them. I did try and find out, but I didn't get any illumination on that one. These two people, Jairus and the woman, had faith. Jairus had faith to ask for healing. He didn't know he was asking for resurrection because she wasn't dead at the point he asked. The woman had faith to ask for healing privately. The story for both of these women, this child and this woman, live on 2,000 years later. The faith of Jairus, having seen the centurion's servant healed the week before, gave him the faith to ask Jesus to heal his daughter. This wasn't about having faith for stuff that's beyond imagining. This was stuff they had seen. And this story tells us about dignity being given to the women, about healing being given to those who need it, about the faith who asked for those who asked for healing, one for themselves, one for family. This is a story of encouragement. Whenever we talk in the Bible about sons of God, we are all sons of God, because the image in the Bible is that sons inherit with Jesus. So we are sons and daughters. We have dignity because God loves us. And the Holy Spirit gives us faith to ask God for miracles. And sometimes those will be miracles of healing. And sometimes those will be miracles of resurrection. I've never seen that. I have seen people healed. I haven't been in a situation where I've seen someone come back to life. Sometimes that's asking for a peaceful end. Sometimes it's asking for help in a situation that is overwhelming, you have no strength to deal with, you can't cope anymore. Sometimes it's praying for those you love who are struggling, and it's breaking your heart that there's nothing you can do apart from pray. So this is a story of faith. This is a story of trust in God. And we're going to sing a song in a minute that goes with all the others we've sung so far, acknowledging who God is, acknowledging that he knows us, acknowledging that he calls us. I've been following the call to ordination for 10 years, but everybody in this room is loved by God and is called. You are called to be a mother, a father, a husband, a wife, a daughter, a son, a car mechanic, an administrator, an NTA. I can't think of any other jobs that I can recognize at the moment. Funeral directors. And there may be calling on your life that you don't yet know what it looks like. You are not too old or too young to know that God loves you and that he has a plan for you and that you can trust him. If you follow him, he will lead you where you are meant to be. Amen.